Ted, will you check and make sure I started that? It looks like it's running.
The little light's on.
Okay, and then right below where it says 01, there should be a counter that's going on.
It's going, yes.
Okay, good. That's good stuff. It's on then.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get her started. I did hear from Mary Ann. She said she's out of town, so she won't be here. And
here's Dave.
Ellie didn't think he'd make it. Dave, so.
Dave, there are handouts on the counter.
We're in good shape.
Sorry about
that. Oh, we just got started.
Hey, Dave, could you grab one of those sheets up there?
So, I see we've got myself, and Alicia, Chuck, and Bob, Dave, and we have Ted here. Everybody know Ted, or acting
I know manager. Dave, and Chuck, and you are?
Ted and Bob Hine.
Nice to meet you, Bob.
Nice to meet you.
And Alicia, Ted Smith. Nice to meet you.
And we also have Tim here from Public Works Department. I spoke to him at the open house, and he suggested he was going to bring some information about sidewalk projects and sidewalks, here in town. So good to see him here, and we got Mark and Peggy. So move on to the approval of the minutes from our June.
Hold on.
Meeting, or is there any?
Ken?
Yes.
If we can, any stuff that we have specifically for Tim, we should kind of front load that into the meeting.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
Okay. It wasn't laid out on the agenda, so I was noting that.
I know, yeah, I'm getting to that. The minutes from the June meeting. I just got a copy today. I had an opportunity to go through them. I didn't see any particular additions or corrections. And also, you probably might have seen for the first time here today.
Yeah, I read through them real quick here. There's a lot of information here. It's a lot of minutes.
Yeah, we covered a lot.
I'll make them shorter next time.
No, that was good. I mean,
we covered a lot of ground last meeting.
It shows our, captures what we talked about really well.
Thank you. So you don't want me to put today they talked about bang, 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 bang.
I'd go so far as to make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to second to approve the minutes from the June meeting.
Dave seconded.
And a second from Dave. Any additional solutions, any comments? All those in favor of approving minutes from the as written from the June meeting?
Aye.
Okay. Accepted as written. So we're going to go ahead and move into, normally a public comment, and I guess Tim is public today, along with Ted. So we're going to, since Tim probably has a few things on his plate, and when I spoke to him last week, he offered to come here and share some information with him. We'll go ahead and let Tim go ahead and give us his information about the sidewalks, et cetera.
Okay, we have a number of things going on over the course of this year, and Ken wanted me to come just kind of give you an update on where we're at with some of those things. I have kind of a long list here, but I'll just start with the things I'm working on at the moment, and then are actually under construction, and move to the things that are in the planning process and future construction. So, for those astute people who are watching, we recently installed a section of sidewalk along Nye Street just above Betty Wheeler Field. They actually poured the sidewalk connection from Nye Street across Betty Wheeler Field, tying into the sidewalk that comes up A Street. So it ties it in from Highway 101 there. They're actually not A Street, it would be 9th Street. Whatever's north of the 77th station, I think it's 9th. There's a sidewalk that comes along there, and there's a stairway that goes down to Betty Wheeler, but there was never any kind of connection between I Street and Betty Wheeler there.
Oh, cool.
And so right now there's just Okay. You come off of 9th Street, just north of 77th. There's a stairs that goes down. There's an asphalt path. We're actually doing some work on that to clean that up. We'll be building a stairway down. The sidewalk was poured today from basically the bleachers up along the south side of the parking lot and tying into the sidewalk on 9th Street.
Yeah, cool.
That was done today. It needs some railing yet. One of the projects that we will be working on here in probably the next month is finishing the sidewalk on the north side of 3rd Street right by the high school. There's a half a block of sidewalk that's missing, and the road is really narrow there. As part of our overlay project, we're going to put in curb there, sidewalk on the north side, and finish that connection between Eads and the sidewalk connection right in front of the high school, and improve that intersection of Fogarty there, because it's all potholed and bad and kids are walking out in the street there. So that will essentially be widened and the sidewalk will be added on the north side. That we're doing that as part of, we will finish that curb and gutter and then overlay that as part of our overlay project. Likewise over here right behind City Hall, I never know what that street is called because it changes from Angle to 9th Street to Benton. And so somewhere in that stretch in there, there's a cattle path worn in right in front of that wood retaining wall. And we already have the curb there saw cut for removal. That will probably take place in 2 weeks. And we actually have to take the curb out to put the sidewalk in because there's not enough room in between the retaining wall and the curb to do that without taking out the curb. So the curb gets kicked in. The road's very wide there. And so we still have like a 13 or 14 foot wide lane even after moving the curb so we can get the sidewalk in. So that half a block of sidewalk that's always been missing will be completed in there.
That's the one right down here?
Yes.
Okay. So people won't have to cross traffic to get to continue
their
traffic there.
They'll continue around. Ultimately, the goal is to continue the walking path all the way from Highway 20 to the hospital. We're picking it up a half a block at a time. there's a pedestrian ramp right across the intersection from that, or right across Hatfield from that, that's just a pile as well. We're cutting that and taking that out and replacing that with a ADA-appropriate pedestrian ramp. So that stretch right there. We also have the curb saw cut right here at the end of City Hall sidewalk, right at the corner of 9th and Angle, right where the farmer's market is. They always have that intersection there. You'll notice there's a cattle path worn into the dirt there as well. And so we're continuing the sidewalk where everybody is already walking, putting in a pedestrian ramp there. So that whole intersection will have a three-way kind of mid-block crossing on it because it's through an Angle Streetway. So we'll mark that crossing there as well so somebody doesn't get clipped. I don't know if you noticed, we've been not painting the pedestrian mid-block crossing, which is about 300 feet further to the northeast there. It comes across, I don't even know what that funky street is. Right at the end of that retaining wall, there's a crossing right there. It takes people out of that neighborhood and crosses them right to City Hall. It's a completely blind corner. And so we've not been marking that, and we actually want to take those ped ramps out and encourage people to move another 100 feet to the west and cross there instead, because it's a much safer location. And we'll improve the signage there so people can see that. Now, people are going to cross there anyway, but it's the only place for people with handicap or wheelchair to cross the road. And that's not where we want them to cross the road because it's a blind corner. ODOT and I have different interpretations of the ADA standard on whether you're required to have pedestrian ramps at every intersection, T-intersection like that. I don't believe that you are. We actually having a meeting with the state to discuss that very topic about the Highway 101 crossings, because there's a similar problem there. But we did have our open house in the Highway 101 crossings on Tuesday to get some feedback on kind of the aesthetics of the pedestrian islands. Our goal is to make those islands as large as we physically can, so that it provides as much kind of pedestrian refuge as possible. And so we have some new drawings that were done by the consultant that he just sent me that I haven't even had an opportunity to look at yet that deals with that. And we will be meeting with ODOT next week to talk about right-of-way issues and potentially our varying interpretation of the ADA guidelines. The comments we got back was, we don't want you to take out the crossings that are already in. We just want you to mark new crossings. I'm like, well, we can't do that because I don't want to encourage people to cross places we don't want them to cross. You know, they say
you're giving them an opportunity to cross
at a T intersection. They want a crossing on both legs.
So you'd have two mid-block crossings, one on either side of the T Street. And we're like, well, no. We want them to cross on the one crossing, even if they have to cross the adjacent street to get there, because that's the one that's marked. That's the one with the signage. That's the one with the markings. Yeah, we're fighting.
That's the one, 16th? That actually 16th
all
right
of them.
There?
Every yeah. one of those is an offset intersection, so it applies to almost everyone. Third Street.
So they're talking about curb cuts? Is that what they're talking about?
That's exactly what they're talking about, the curb cuts. We want to take the curb cuts out. They actually want us to install more. Mm-hmm. And that does not necessarily how that ADA guideline is drafted. If you provide crossing, basically what ADA says is if you have the ability for an able-bodied person to cross, you need to provide an adequate method for people who are handicapped to cross. Well, you know, if I want them to move and cross 30 feet down, that's perfectly acceptable in my estimation, because you are providing them an opportunity to cross that same intersection. You're just providing it in a more appropriate and safer location. In fact, that's where we're encouraging able-bodied people to cross as well. So it's actually added a considerable cost to the project because of all the extra work that they want us to do. It's that kind of bureaucracy that makes these things kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I have a question about the crossing at Neff Street when you come up out of Night Beach.
There's no crossing at Neff Street.
Right. That's where I'm going. If you walk up Neff past the Mombets Park and you go to the top of the hill, when that first announcement came out, Derek was on the radio a year ago, said that we're going to take a crossing off at Neff. I thought, well, that's kind of wild because a lot of people walk up out of the Night Beach there at Neff.
We're not taking anything out. We're just not marking it again.
And you commented that, well, we actually want to take them down to Abbey because that's the most appropriate place to do one of these deals. So if somebody does walk up Neff and they want to go across the street because it's a path of least resistance for them, as an example, what will be the, it won't be marked, but it won't be...
Every intersection is a legal crossing.
Right, but it won't be marked with any paint and there won't be any curb
paint or signage or anything like that. There's actually curb cuts there that we're not planning on taking out.
Okay, good. Okay.
Because they're...
Why take them out?
Most of those curb cuts are in the center of the radius, if you know what I mean. And so they really provide access going both directions, whether you're crossing the highway or you're crossing the adjacent street. And so they still function in that capacity. And people can cross at every intersection. What we're doing is we're just marking the intersections. And if you take a look at the ones that the state approved, they're kind of equidistant all the way down the highway. They're almost exactly the same distance apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea that they had when they approved those locations was that they wanted it to provide regularly spaced crossing locations for pedestrians. So even if they have to walk two blocks to cross the highway, they have a crossing within that distance, and it is approximately that.
We did approve using Abbey Street as the crossing in that area about a year and a half ago. We had a big discussion about that at one of our meetings.
Yeah, I think Abbey Street is one of the locations.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just want to use that as an example to see how what was there now, how that was going to be treated, and that was a good explanation to as
is. It's going to stay exactly the way it is.
So it's a passive, still could be passively used, but...
You know, the intersection that actually that applies to would be like 3rd Street, because there's a curb cut on the south leg of 3rd Street where the crossing is right now that crosses people right through the middle of the turn lane when people are taking a left turn on 3rd Street. Right. Incredibly dangerous. It's why people get hit there all the time. We want to move it on the north leg because nobody's taking a left turn on the north leg. Right? You don't have that interaction. Right. Well, they want to leave that curb cut there. And we're like, no, we're taking the curb cut out. I don't know what to say because you're throwing people into a turn lane. And that's the argument that we're having with the state because they don't look at what you're sending the pedestrians into. Now, I think there's probably some sort of compromise that we can make with them. I've actually seen people put up little gates at the crossing saying, this crossing is closed. We may end up being forced to do that. Which I think is kind of lame, but, you know, the state's people with the purse strings. But that's the discussion we're going to have. And those are the ones we're trying to remove are the ones that are actually causing vehicle-pedestrian conflicts, where you're taking somebody and tossing them out into a turn lane or something like that.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'll tell you a little story about Depot Bay. Because I remember going to a meeting in Depot Bay where they were just begging for crosswalks from the state. They got the crosswalks finally, and they're beautiful. But do people use them? No.
Well, people are going to cross wherever they're going to cross.
Right. People are going to cross wherever they want to cross. That's the point I'm trying to get across.
Yeah. I mean, you can't change human behavior. All you can do is make it as convenient for them as possible.
And the tourists all use the crosswalks up there. I've been working up there for months, and you know, I don't see too many jaywalkers. I see them using the crosswalks.
Okay, I do.
Well, we don't have as many destinations. You know, it's not as busy. You know. Here as it is up there in Depot Bay. Depot Bay, you got all the stores, and then you got the ocean on the other side, so yeah, and the parking. So that's why they're crossing everywhere up there. Now, we're a little bit different down here as well.
But we did a bunch of pedestrian crossings down to the basement last year, and it really makes a difference. They may not be right in the crossing, but they cross in that general location. Mm-hmm. It has made a difference, I've noticed, because I've been watching to see the impact of those.
Yeah. I think what you're doing makes a lot of sense. As far as doing it from a safety standpoint, that's where we'll hang our hat on, I think, the state.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just more defensible than later on saying, I know we got 7 people killed, and now you're trying to figure out why. We told you why.
Well, you're making the mistake of assuming there's logic in the discussion with ODOT, and it's not logic, it's standard.
Well, yeah, and I think what they tend to do is they tend to look too much at their book. Instead of taking a look at the world that is out there. Because I remember the discussion about the speed limit going down Moore Drive, you know, where they said, well, no, it really should be higher than that. You know, based on the way they look at the width and all the rest of the stuff. And however, you know, based on living here and everything else, we know, you know, that really isn't appropriate. Now I don't know if you're going to have to raise that speed limit on that. Remember that discussion at that task force?
If you want to lower the speed limit, drive through there really slow tomorrow because they're doing the analysis tomorrow.
That was one of those things where you asked the question.
You be slow.
One of those things you wish you hadn't asked the question, right?
That was exactly right.
You know, one time the speed limit was higher, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's marked as 25.
Because people used to come down there and they'd have a hard time making that right turn doing the pull.
So, I mean, there's a reason for it, you know, to go to that. And unfortunately, somebody asked the question about, we've got these trucks and other things and we need to have you do an analysis. And they looked at that one and said, I think it should be more than 25.
You see, we did that because people wanted us to, and it was a mistake because the timing was wrong. But it was hard to get people to understand that. You do the speed study analysis after the trucks are there, because beforehand they have no impact. And I actually talked to the ODOT speed study guy today, and somebody wanted me to contest the speed study, and I said, I'm not gonna, because I don't have a lot of justification for that. What I'd much rather do is actually request another one after they open the yard, because now I have all this truck traffic that's being intermixed into that. And if we ask for it right away, when it has the most impact, because people aren't used to it, you may actually see some sort of a benefit. And so what we're probably going to do is after TVN opens up their operation, they start getting some trucks rolling in there, then we'll make the request again. And then we potentially can have a reason to contest it, because we would say, okay, you know, we have this increased amount of truck traffic, we have this increased amount of congestion at the intersection, we think that you need to lower the speed limit so people have an opportunity to slow down, blah, blah, blah. That case doesn't exist right now. And ODOT goes on what is there, not on what is projected to be there. And so that's how those studies work.
Yeah. Going back to the crosswalk improvements and stuff, I noted that, you know, like you said, they're going to be basically at regular intervals through, from all the way from 16th all the way almost to the bridge. And with the islands and everything else, and I'm also seeing that as a positive thing, is actually being, a traffic calming situation. You put the islands out there, you make it look a little bit busier, it's going to be, I think, in interspaced the way they are, I think it's ultimately should hopefully lower the speed limits and get
people tend to slow
driver awareness anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the negative of that is they're cutting into the traffic lane, and that means we get less room to ride our bikes.
Well, the bike, if you're a bicycle and you're riding on 101, you need to be taking a lane in the places that you're in situations like that. Otherwise, go find a side street. That's my opinion.
Where are they cutting into the lane?
There are no side streets in the north part of town.
I don't think you're going to see any reduction in speed where the pedestrian islands are. I think where you're going to see the reduction in speed is going to be in the city center area where the pump outs come in. Because, there's somebody at the meeting who complained about the pump outs down in Nye Beach. And the purpose of the bump outs in Nye Beach was traffic calming. And they work really good because Nye Beach, people move at 5 to 10 miles an hour. I mean, they work really good. People don't like them because the corners are tight and it's narrow, and that's exactly what they were designed to be. The bump outs that are on 101 are not going to be nearly that extreme. I believe there's an 8-foot parking lane, and I think their bump outs are 6 feet. So this is a 2-foot space in between the actual traffic lane and the curb. And so bikers have some space in there, but what I think you're going to see is it probably will reduce the speed limit in there 5 to 10 miles an hour, which if I was a biker, I'd rather have the speed limit reduced 5 to 10 miles an hour than have really no more space than if you have a parked car there. Because quite frankly, the parked cars are going to stick out further than the bump outs will.
Yeah, because right now half the time people are doing 35 through town.
And what that's going to do is going to create the effect that it was narrower, which it is.
25.
And I thought 35 on the highway.
No,
it drops down to 25 for a short.
It drops down to 25.
Yeah.
25.
You just don't notice it because nobody slows down to 25.
He's the one doing it.
Can't see the science.
The best traffic calming measure is making the road narrower, always. People will even just stripe a road and it reduces the speed, simply because it gives the impression of people going slower or being narrower.
Visual obstruction.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know if you noticed when you're coming out of the obstruction on Highway 20, where you take that sharp kind of 90-degree turn when you're going to Corvallis. They had some accidents in there, and so they marked some additional signage, but they have these hash marks on the side of the road. And what the hash marks do is as you're coming into the construction zone, they're spaced farther apart. And as you get closer to the construction zone, they're spaced closer together, which gives you the impression that you're moving faster than you are. Totally psychological. They work really well because it looks like you're flying. People slow down.
But yet they don't slow. They don't obstruct anything.
They don't obstruct anything. No, it's all psychological, and the same impact is going to be here. The bump outs don't stick out any further in the road than the cars do. In fact, they probably stick out less because people are all over the place when they're parking on the road there. But the effect is that the road is narrower, and people very likely slow down. In fact, we probably should do some speed studies out there before we do this improvement, and then go and take a speed study immediately after we do the improvement and see what the change is, because I guarantee there'll be one.
So what will be the... next, you said you just got some new drawings. What will be the next step for the 101 project?
We went through the...
we had the one public hearing.
Yeah, they call it their conceptual drawing phase, where ODOT takes a look at them and makes all their comments. That has just been completed. ODOT has all their comments in. And so what the consultant is doing right now is they have the second set of drawings that they completed that takes into account some of the comments from the public meeting.
Okay.
And the comments from the state, some of which I told them to ignore, because we're going to go and talk next week about it. And at that point, we obviously redo those drawings, we put them together, and then I get reviewed by the state again. That's kind of the 60% review phase.
So then once the state's all done with them again, you were
then
talking
we go
about
to actual contract document preparation.
Well, weren't you talking about having a second public hearing?
Yeah, that's why they're putting these drawings together to get the state to review them, because there's really no point in going to a public meeting if the state's going to change your drawings.
I was trying to figure out at what point does the sort of coalescence and agreement of the decorating of the islands.
That meeting will probably take place in the beginning of August.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we're in July already.
Yeah.
And by the time they get through the review phase by the state and they get those concept drawings together, probably going to be sometime in the middle of August.
Yeah.
And the goal being end of September to have the contract documents done and we start advertising it in October. Start building the thing in December.
But, I missed the last meeting. I just got back into town and I wasn't aware of it. So I'd like to be at the next one.
Yeah, I missed it also. I talked to Derek a little bit afterwards and before, and one of the things that I was asking about is the pedestrian activated flashing lights. And how many of those are going to be? And he commented that there's only money in the budget to do one, and it's going to be here at City Hall, Angle Street, for the flashing light deal. And from talking to him, the idea is that where others are needed in the future, they can be retrofitted in, and at a cost of like $30,000 a piece to add them. But I know from going through Florence, and I was down in Florence when the workshop was taking place up here, and I, you know, queried a couple shopkeepers down there that are adjacent to some of those features, and just to get a feel for it. And I experienced myself going through those areas, when somebody kicks that on and the lights flash, if it's a couple kids on a bicycle that are half riding, half walking, they're across, boom, fast. And if it's some older person that's going slow, takes them quite a while to get through there. Well, during that whole time, the lights are flashing, how long they flash, based upon the timing, just a static amount of time, a minute or whatever. And what you find yourself doing is seeing nobody crossing, but the lights are flashing, so you're unsure exactly what it is you're supposed to do. And I said, well, what do you do if you see the lights flashing, there's somebody there? Are you supposed to stay stopped while they're flashing?
No, that's as a caution. Those are caution lights.
So what they said is that as long as there's nobody in there, you don't have to stop. Yeah. But I found myself with my foot on the brake, sitting there, lights are flashing like this, and really hesitating going through. So there's going to be a little traffic calming.
If it's a red light, you stop. If it's a amber light, you use caution.
But when you're new to it, see, I saw the same thing when I went through Woodburn last week, and I saw one of those where the light was flashing, and it was still flashing, and I didn't see anybody there, but I saw the pedestrian finally, at the other side and stuff. But again, I had the same question, and until we probably get used to it, we're going to slow down, probably look and see, are there more people? Right. And
that is kind of the worst part, though. It's not so much that you can't see somebody late to the party, a normal speed person.
Right.
But if it's flashing and nothing's been happening for a while, now all of a sudden you got a kid who half rides his bike out into it.
Right.
Yeah, that's.
But it just creates an interesting dynamic. It's not. Yeah. It's just an observation, and the other observation is we're doing one. Does that mean we want to try to do more over time?
I want to see them all have flashers on.
Okay.
Spoke with Amy Ramsdell at that meeting, and we indicated at the open house that right now the funding really was only available for the one because they are quite expensive. She mentioned to me afterward that ODOT has so many little slush funds out there to actually come up with what we really want to see, and she'll see if she can find some additional funding. So I'm going to encourage the consultant to include them in the contract documents as alternatives, and we might be able to fund 1, 2, 3, 4 more. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, the one on the south end of town, if you're coming across the bridge, you have pretty high speed. So that one on the very south end of town would be another one that, to me, would be a high priority because...
Third is the most used crosswalk in town.
What's that?
Third is by far the most used crosswalk in town.
Yeah, Third Street's the one I put it on before.
Well, right.
I'm not even sure how Angle Street got picked.
I'm just saying...
The Farmer's Market.
Angle Street is the one.
Oh, Third. Okay. I guess the point is we're getting one, and it would be to pick our next three. Prioritize.
Yeah, in fact,
that's what I was going to ask.
I'm going to actually see if we can move it from Angle Street, because Angle Street is one of the narrower crossings. One of the last ones I would have put the pedestrian flasher on, but it was pre-approved by the state traffic engineer before I even got here. But I'd much rather see one at 3rd Street or 15th Street or 10th Street, where you have a long crossing with multiple lanes
and
a high visibility area like Angle Street, because there's great visibility at Angle Street.
And the speed is slow, too.
And it's much slower.
Right? You've got the same, the injury data on 3rd Street to prove it, where you really don't at Angle or...
15th is another, that end of town.
It's tough one.
Yeah, you've got all those people wanting to go to Fred Meyer.
They don't want to stop.
You've still got an injury rate at 3rd Street.
Yeah.
We'll see. That's a discussion that's yet to be had. Those are easy because there's no conduit necessary for them. They're solar powered. They literally bolt right to the concrete. So if we have the funds available within the, if we only have the funds available within the current contract that we have, we'd rather put them into making the islands as large as possible, because that's a construct that you can't come back and change later easily. But I can go in and bolt these bloody signs and these pedestrian activated signals just like that. And so we could acquire funds and do them one at a time if we need to. I think it's a great opportunity to get Safe Routes to School funding or any kind of foundation grant funding for this kind of thing, because this is no-brainer pedestrian safety stuff. People love paying for that kind of thing. And I, we have a grant consultant that can probably acquire those dollars without a great deal of angst.
So,
I wanted to move on, if I could.
I was just going to ask you, as you add those, you're going to have to get ODOT approval every time you want to put one in?
I don't think so. Not for this. I probably would need to get some consensus from the state traffic engineer that it's appropriate at all the crossings. They didn't say it wasn't. The way that the letter was written was that it basically acknowledged the need for it at Angle Street and potentially additional, I'm trying to remember exactly how the terminology went, it was something along the lines of potentially other locations as warranted. And okay. So if I have pedestrian crossing locations previously approved by the state transportation engineer and I want to enhance that crossing, I don't think I have to go and get a bunch of signatures to do that. I think it would be a very straightforward process.
Okay.
Ash Street is under construction with a multi-use path on the west side. The contractor will be out tomorrow setting dewatering the storm drain in, and after that the project will be buttoned up. Basically, when the fishing is good, is kind of how the contractor's scheduling his time right now. Interesting environment to work in Newport. Safe Haven Hill, there's a lot of pedestrian improvements associated with that.
Can I ask one question about Ash?
Yeah.
I asked Derek the other day regarding doing some bicycle improvements on 40th Street to help tie into Ash. Right now, the lower end of 40th Street doesn't have any bicycle improvements from 101 up to Chestnut Street. And he said that he was going to talk to Ted about possibly restriping the lower part of 40th Street to facilitate a bike lane from just the uphill portion of 40th from ideally 101 to the mixed-use path at Chestnut. Did that get any consideration or, you know?
Never heard about that one.
I haven't heard about it yet either.
Okay. Basically, Ted told Derek.
You mean Ted Jones?
Ted Jones was going to look at it and see what was possible there, but that was in our minutes from last meeting. And so I followed up that issue with Derek was very receptive to wanting to do that because he thought it would give us one more little connective piece of bicycle stuff.
There's a bike lane further to the east, isn't there?
The east of?
Further to the east on 40th Street.
Well, actually, not until you get to the trail.
There's no mixed-use path.
There's no bike lane on 40th where the bicycle facility starts. Is up at the uphill side where Chestnut Street is, crosses there. That's the only bicycle improvement clear down the hill to 101. It's notable on 101, the little pocket turn lane, if you're coming from Walport and going to the college. When you get in that decel lane, there's the bike lane there that came, you know, with the ODOT thing. But the lower part of 40th Street never got a bicycle facility. So the easy potential solution is just to continue that bike lane striping on the lower part of 40th Street. So it would be connective to 101 and also be connective to Ash.
The Safe Haven Hill improvements is a federally funded project, so it will take the rest of my life to complete. We are in the process right now of updating the geotechnical report, which I got on my desk today, and that goes to the state for review. They actually do, I think, with that, they also do a I'm trying to think of the right terminology. Basically, they calculate how many people will die if you don't do the project to justify its existence. That's exactly what they're doing. They calculate the cost of human life per person who would be killed without it, and they take a look at the actual project cost, and they compare the two.
Interesting.
Believe it or not, that's actually how it works. This is all part of phase one, it's called, for that Safe Haven Hill. Does a little bit of further analysis on the hill and justification for the project and stuff. When that is complete, it automatically authorizes phase $2, which is actually the design. The design will include sidewalks on the west side of Highway 101 from the bridge around Tsunami Hill, Safe Haven Hill, to where the trail goes up, and then also, I believe, on the west side from the other side of the intersection at Abalone down to tie into the sidewalk by Toby Murray Motors. So that little loop right there. The sidewalk goes all the way around Safe Haven Hill, which would be, I guess, the east side of Abalone, and runs all the way down and then ties into the multi-use path below the bridge. So it kind of makes that big loop connection around the hill there and then ties into Toby Murray's, which is a pretty important pedestrian connection because people are kind of just walking on the side of the highway right now.
Right. I was going to say it's a blind corner all the way around.
Yep. So, again, I think if we're lucky, we'll see that going next year. Lucky. I would actually be shocked to see it going next year. It just takes that much time to do a FEMA project.
Is there clearing out of that ravine at the backside of Safe Haven Hill, is that part of this project? What was the deal with cleaning that ravine out?
The state owns all of that. That's all state right away.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a big hole in there, yeah. Cleaned a bunch of trees out.
What did they do that for?
My understanding, they did that at a place to dump material. They just needed a spot to dump some spoils, and that's where they picked.
Huh. So I was thinking, well, maybe they're trying to ramp up a backside bank or whatever.
No, a big hole disappeared one day. Nobody said anything to us. I actually think that somebody probably got in trouble for it because it was such a dumb place to go and clear a bunch of brush out.
It was highly visible.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and so it just stopped. You know, they cleared it out. I was told it was for spoiling the material, and it just stopped. And I think somebody probably did something they probably shouldn't have done. It's my guess. There's a huge pile of rock under the bridge right now. That's to actually fix a storm drain that's underneath the bridge there that has caved in. So that would go away before the end of the summer. But in terms of pedestrian improvements, it's about all I know at the moment. Well, I'll take it back. This is not so much a pedestrian improvement as a park improvement, but the Aga Beach Wayside up at 56th Street right by Roby's Furniture, is that right? Mm-hmm. Toward the surface park, right?
Used to be Block Wayside.
Trail.
Yeah.
What's that?
Used to be called Block Wayside.
Ernest
yes.
Block.
Mm-hmm. Ernest Block Wayside.
The city just entered into an agreement with the state to fund an improvement there that will open up access down to the beach there and improve that as basically a wayside bathroom.
Yeah. The surfer trail then?
Mm-hmm. The surfer trail will
the
be
shower
improved. Showers will be put in. I'm trying to remember the name of the street right there, Grant Street.
Is that in the works that's gonna already proven gonna happen?
Yeah, funding's been approved.
Okay, cool.
Just a matter of going through the really sorted state process of design. It ends up being funded through the state, so we have to select a state consultant similar to what we did for the Highway 101 crossings and go through the exact same review process. Although that has a lot of environmental impact, and so it probably will take at least a year to get through the environmental review.
Because you got to go down that ravine.
There's some storm sewer improvements. There's a washout in there. And we hauled away some dollars of our match for those storm sewer improvements. And then there's an extension of that street, which will have some sort of will then require some sort of stormwater treatment because that's additional impervious surface, and it all goes down to the ocean, so it'll all get reviewed by SHPO, HIPPO, and everybody else and their brother. So what I'm imagining will take place is now that we have the contract, we'll go through the consultant selection process, which will be by RFP because it's a large enough contract. They'll get engaged, and then we'll start the environmental review process, and then we'll just be in that process for a good year, probably 18 months. When we wade through that, then they can actually go into a design phase, and so I would expect construction not next year, but the following.
Did they resolve all the neighborhood concerns about parking and all of that?
Nope. The neighbors want no parking, and we said no.
That's just been worked on for about 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, they make a request about every 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I know, there's been no accidents, fender benders, or otherwise. They just don't like people parking on
the street. There's quality of life concerns they have up there with cars parking, people changing clothes, a leak on the sidewalk sometimes, but mostly just they're there and occasionally they park blocking a driveway or something.
Yeah, and the driveways are designed badly. They all angle to the north, so you can't actually back out of the driveway and turn without having to do a couple wide turns because they're not made that way. Makes it a lot worse, so people, if they just park in front of their own driveway, is what I've done on survey.
Yeah. That's been a problem up there for 30 years.
Yeah, but we can't mark
with
that
the
no
surface.
Parking, because all the surfers park there, and there's no other place to park. It's only going to get worse if you try marking the no parking, because people will park illegal in the park places they shouldn't.
Including the neighbors, or the occupants.
So basically we said, thank you, but no thank you. They didn't like that answer, but that's the only answer.
It's realistic.
Yeah.
What about that sewer project of the Park Street deal? Is that, did we get alignment there that's going to help our trail, or do we get the other alignment that kind of makes it not really helpful?
Couldn't do that simply because of the environmental impacts associated with doing that, going through that creek and wetland. And so the sewer alignment will go up Ocean View and then cut across 17th Street, which is actually a public right-of-way, gravel street, and then there's just a short little drop down the hill where it gets on to... not parked anymore, then it's on Nye Street, right, north of where that creek is. And so we then we had zero environmental impact by that alignment.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking on that one.
Yeah, so our path is dead.
Well, it's not part of that project.
Yeah.
Well, but we still do our path, we just can't.
Path won't be in that location.
Yeah, that was not a good marriage because that project is being funded through SRF dollars, State Revolving Loan Fund dollars, which requires what they call cross-cutting measures. And you identify any sort of environmental impact that you may have as part of that project, and then your mitigation methodology for dealing with that, which is very convoluted. So by avoiding any environmental impact, we avoided a lot of extra engineering.
Could you advise us as to how we might, you know, in the future proceed to get that project going, you know, just separate from any sort of project?
That's something you're going to probably need to find private funding for, because it's not going to be cheap to make that connection. It's not all that hard to do. You know, I would recommend doing it. I think we had talked about the wood bridge, similar to what they do with the Beamer Trail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because then you can make a crossing the creek without actually having to go and do a bunch of culvert work and get in-water work permits and things like that. I just don't see it in the cards being funded through the city, simply because there's so many other things that are much easier to build and much less expensive. And so if you could find some sort of a foundation or somebody who would be willing to provide some sort of dollars to build that section in there.
That's interesting, because we're talking about dollars versus people's lives.
The alternative is to go back to the, you know, the original plan that we had, as, you know, getting a sidewalk or pathway or bike lane on Ocean View Drive. And we almost had that funded through ODOT a couple of years ago, and we lost that. And so maybe, you know, it's time to revisit trying to get, because we almost had a grant for that, widening Ocean View before you were hired, all the way up to 101 from down to about to 12th all the way, but all the way in through that area where it needs widening. We drove ODOT folks through there, and they were excited about it. Everybody was excited about it. It is the Oregon Coast bike route officially, and it almost, you know, almost happened. And that was Lee Risman's last days. And
that one section, the cliff or whatever, encroaches pretty close to the street. I imagine they'd have to cut that back.
That's why we'd need some funding, because going around that.
So back then they were talking about being willing to cut that back.
There's plenty of right of way on both sides of that. And
that's not my understanding. That the right of way was narrow and the encroachments were in the right of way were pretty substantial, especially to that S curve in there.
Because
the properties to the west are lower than it. The properties to the east are higher than it. And so to widen out, you're literally 10 feet above the guy's house, you know, the ones that are on the west side. In the S curve area only, I'm really talking about.
So if we're trying to get the S curves from 21st to 12th, those two sections, safer, the Ocean View project that you just talked about is problematic, and the Park Street thing is problematic. But we want to try to do something in that area. So I guess we think of trying to continue to try to do both or either, but go after the ODOT thing again or not, or maybe you look at it and say, well, we can't do it, or.
I want to go back and get the paperwork on that, because originally when we walked. We were on foot walking through there, and Lee Ritzman was saying that we did have clearance.
And I thought we saw some maps saying that there was right way available. Yeah. But it would have meant
realignment
of the roadway in order to be able to, you know, make wider the sections we needed to make wider.
Because
it would have affected the landowners there, of course. But you know, still the city did have, you know, apparently some road right away there available.
It's been a very dangerous area.
Just think about this.
Right away.
By the way, if you were able to take the bicycles, pedestrians off of Ocean View around 22nd Street there. Drop them down, bring them up through 9th Street, all the way back to 12th Street, then put them back over on the Ocean View. Think about it.
That's what we all thought was the easiest way to do it.
We don't even have to worry about the area between 15th and 12th, because you just bring them up 9th Street instead.
yeah, I like that. If, you know, one or the other, something ought to be done. You know,
have you considered maybe having them replot the Oregon Coast bike route to a safer location? Because
right.
then,
well, this would be
that's
right?
what we're talking right about down, right now.
Yeah. Right, but that's not something the city of Newport can do. That's something right.
And why is that?
But you've got to provide the safe location
we're not the ones
first.
Who designated that as the Oregon Coast.
No,
bike
but I mean,
route.
Well, as far as this,
that question came up in Lincoln City, and because of they had a circuitous route going along the ocean for the Oregon Coast bike route a number of years ago. And for whatever reason, it was too complicated and people didn't like it. So now the Oregon Coast bike route goes right through 101 on Lincoln City. So, I mean, that's the alternative is to put the Oregon Coast bike route on 101 going through Newport.
Well, maybe if this one. Alternative.
Maybe if there, maybe if you revisited that right away, you said they were almost willing to do a number of years back mm-hmm. and proposed that the alternative would be rerouting it. They don't want to do that.
We had a grant application written and it was submitted.
It was a TEA grant. It was one of the big ones.
And
every 2 year grant.
Yep. And we've done quite a bit of research on it, you know, because the grant was submitted.
Yeah, that particular grant funding, the transportation enhancement stuff, is no longer available.
Yeah, well, we don't care about
it's called
that.
Something, yeah. you know, something else now, and it's a lot more competitive. There isn't quite right. as much money available.
Well, I don't care about that part. It's just that, thing, but, you know, like I said, we almost had it and lost it because of a lack of interest in certain parties. And, you know, it's something that should be revisited, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm sure, you know, one of the functions of this committee is to actually keep that one pretty high on the radar. At one point, also, many years ago, probably 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, we'd actually come up with a plan to put in that Park Street Trail and it included a bridge
yes.
that went over the wetlands. I still have the drawings for that.
Right.
Jim Colbert had drawn the whole thing up and
correct.
Engineered it because he'd mm-hmm. done that before. So I still have that. That might be something else we can come up with. Like, like Tim says, if we can find somebody that can actually fund it. And a matter of fact, just as a side, matter of fact, on that particular project of putting that bridge in, Jim had actually even gotten to the point of going to the local builders and had gotten materials donated. And then, you know, somewhere along the line, the city ended up dropping the ball and the whole thing fell apart. But we're that close to actually getting something built in. We had volunteers, we had material lined up. It just didn't happen. But I still have the information on the plans. So.
We had the homeowner blocked the way up and out.
Yeah, I know I've got a couple of other issues. But anyway, that's something that we're going to continue to pursue no matter what. I guess probably it for Tim's report. I do have one request or question, especially since Ted is here as well. This is something that's it's an old one. I want to move this forward because I know Tim needs to go and Ted probably needs to go pretty soon too. I'd like to bring it up now. We talked about sheros on the bridge, and this is something that ODOT actually needs to do. I had a conversation with Sheila Lyons with the Oregon Bicycle Pedestrian Coordinator, and she suggested that this be brought up to City Council, and City Council go to ODOT and make a request from the city to ODOT to put the sheros on the bridge. Because I know you've spoken to them a number of months ago, and it kind of got backlogged because they changed regional directors, et cetera. So that kind of got went on the wayside, but I'm thinking that if we can get a formal request from City Council to ODOT to put sheros on the bridge, she said that should raise the level of being able to get that, you know, have that happen, maybe even this year. So that was one of the things, comments I wanted to make before you got out of here, and I don't know if it would be something that, you know, request you'd have to take to City Council during one of the City Council meetings.
Yeah, but Council Liaison would be probably.
I talked with Tim a little bit about this, and I was thinking that bringing it up at a work session and having Tim there to talk with the councilors about it would probably be a good first step so we can, you know, we have several new councilors that can sort of know what the request was a couple of years back, what the issues are now, why we need to make a decision again.
Well, I want to play devil's advocate with that because I've thought about that a lot. And I wonder if that's really what the city wants to make the request of ODOT to do, for a couple of reasons. I don't necessarily want to encourage bikers riding in the lanes on the bridge, and that will certainly do so.
Can I ask?
Conversely, it would also allow vehicles to be more aware of bikers on the bridge if they're riding there anyway, because some will. And so the question I have is that the most appropriate way to improve biker safety on the bridge, or are there alternative methods that the state would be more inclined to accept?
I've researched this for many years, and the only alternative is another bridge or a separate footpath, you know, somewhere else, you know, on the bridge itself. That's the only alternative. It is not safe for bicyclists to use the sidewalks because they're so narrow.
Yeah.
And especially touring cyclists that are tandems. You'd have to be a cyclist and ridden, you know, a few miles across country, et cetera, to really understand the needs of the bicyclists. And in fact, putting the Sherrills on the bridge is not a new concept, because they're doing that. They've already done that to two or three bridges up in Portland. Again, if I talk to a touring cyclist and I know that they're going across the Pointe Brave Bridge, first thing I'll do is I'll tell them that there's a warning light up there that it's got a push button on it, and that for safety reasons, they're better off taking the lane to go across the bridge. And that is a safety issue. It really is safer for them to be on the roadway going across that bridge.
Why wouldn't it be safer for them to walk their bike across that bridge?
And it's, when you're going southbound, even a tourist, is once they get over the top, they're going to be able to hit 25, 30 miles an hour going down. The speed limit is 35 miles an hour. And, you know, your elevation change, you know, going north to south is very minimal on that, you know, getting up to the crest. And you've got the wind behind you. This is, you know, basically this is a summertime thing. I've been working in Yahats for the last 3 weeks, and, you know, every single day when I'm driving back home, I go past 20, 30 cyclists. And that's just in a half hour it takes me to come back from here, every single day. And, you know, having that, you know, in the summertime is when it's necessary. And the cycle tourists, 99% of them are going north to south. You know, obviously it is slower coming back, you know, south to north. The locals are, you know, some of the locals will ride on the sidewalks. Cycle tourists, you don't have to worry about. It's basically, I think, in my point of view, it's to give the cycle tourists the safest and easiest way to get north to south. You know, because that's the deal, is that, you know, you've got, I don't know, nobody really knows for sure, 8, 10, 12,000, you know, cycle tourists coming through here from May to October.
Tim, you ask a really, really legitimate question about why not just have them walk it. A couple of practical reasons. One is most of your cycle tourists are wearing cleated shoes. Walking in them is not a real comfortable or easy thing to do.
Could be dangerous, as a matter of fact.
You could slip and fall. The sidewalks, I think there's 36, 38 inches through there. So if you've got a fully loaded panniers and everything on your bike, and you meet a pedestrian coming the other way, person, bicycle, pedestrian, abreast, you're probably not going to have room. And then the last thing is most of them, they're there to ride their bikes. They're not there to push, walk them. It's a lot more effort to walk and push a bike. So you've got the human nature side of it too. And then the law's on their side to tell them that they can legally ride the lane and take the lane. So, you know, the whole combination of things, it might be more unsafe to have them literally walking over it over the sidewalks compared to...
See, this is... And we're not doing it to encourage them to do it. What we're doing is to actually probably let the motorists know that it is a shared roadway. And because there's still conflicts with motorists and bicyclists when the bicyclists are on lane. Because the bicyclists are going to take the lane, you know, whenever they feel safe to do it anyway.
So see, this is the type of information that, you know, even at the level of considering it at an executive session or a work session with the council, I actually would never have been able to write this type of information, and I will need to then very likely draft this letter
And what would be very helpful for me is to have the committee write me a letter.
Right.
Okay. Defining this kind of thing, because this is really the concrete arguments that I would include within that letter to ODOT. Defining the reasons why it's safer to have the bike or have the bridge marked with Cheryl's than it to not be. For all of the reasons that you simply described, because, you know, again, playing the devil's advocate, I'm asking some of the questions that I feel like I would be asked by some of these people at the state, or the excuses that they would use to say no to that. They put themselves in a difficult position because they have marked other bridges for this with Cheryl's, because obviously they had justification to mark it. And so here we have a bridge that I think is legitimately should be marked, because it is a dangerous situation. It's the only place for bikers to get across the bay. They don't have an alternative way to get across without riding. And so then Cheryl's are the appropriate methodology, because they're intended to indicate that the lane is being shared by bikers and vehicles.
I mean, the optimum solution is something that's not going to happen in our lifetime, and that would be another way across the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Outriggers, okay. Or a...
A new bridge would be designed.
Well, when you go with a new bridge, it'll be designed.
Or a double deck or something wide enough for pedestrians, yeah. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people walk it, too.
Are there any other techniques that are used? Okay. Like, I mean, right now you have the flashing warning light at each end of the bridge.
Right.
Is there any place that has, like, additional flashers all along? So, I mean, see, I try to imagine the average tourist, even with the Cheryl's, they don't see a bike, okay, so fine, I'm not going to worry. But if a set of lights goes off, much like a crossing,
yeah,
then they know that somebody on a bicycle activated that. Now, of course, the hard part is, you know, what's the appropriate time for those to stay flashing, yeah, for somebody to get across?
A better set of flashers, just that one flashing light, I even missed that, you know.
I never
seen
that.
No, you missed it. A lot of people miss it.
Or maybe even if it was like four lights.
And you said you never saw the flasher. I said, what are you talking about? You never saw a flasher. I turned the flasher around when I started across this bridge. I said, that means I'm going to be here. Be prepared for me to be here.
Yeah.
Didn't understand that.
Yeah, that's a good idea, having them write the details.
Yeah. You want to provide some little details for Matt and incorporate that in the letter that we'll send to the state, reminding them that we've already had this conversation a year ago, and I've yet to hear back from them on that, which kind of really irks Amy Ramsdell a lot when she finds out that people aren't following up. And that can be forwarded to the state, and to Sheila Lyon and to Amy, who has been much more proactive in advancing the needs of the communities within her district, than the previous person had that. And so I have a feeling that at least we'll get response, even if not the response we want, we will get response. But I also think it's a logical argument, honestly.
So before we let Tim loose, I also wanted him to be here for part of this discussion on the project on South Beach.
Chestnut.
Oh, well, we discussed that.
Where we put the barricades up.
Yeah, so the way I would characterize this is, in the simplest sense, it's pretty clear that the barricades are impeding safe traffic flow. I mean, I think I reported the last meeting, I was down there with Chuck, and just in the short time we were there, you know, we watched a woman come by with a stroller and a couple bicyclists. I mean, you'd think that those things were radioactive the way they were avoiding going through there. So the simplest thing would be just
6 feet apart.
Space.
Would that be sufficient to make a space that big between two barricades so people can pass in between the two?
Well, perhaps. I mean,
I wouldn't make it any wider than that, because somebody.
Yeah, either that or put it to the make a space to the extreme.
One side. Of the
right. East side. If it was to the extreme east side, then it could be closest to the creek.
But why?
If you're just basically taking Chestnut Street as a street and going down the shoulder, so just so you could go down the shoulder of Chestnut Street, so you could continue to develop that shoulder to the sidewalk at Pirate Splendor. Okay. If you felt that it was better to, since there's space,
right,
to channel the people between the barricades and then swing them over to the shoulder, as opposed to, you know, that. There's a variation there, right, that could be acceptable either way.
The thing is, if you go look at that again, if you do, like, move them over to the left so they can be next to the creek, it's going to have to come over quite a bit, because you sort of feel like practically like you're falling into that creek the way it is now. They'd probably have to move over a good 3 or 4 feet probably.
Yeah. I'd almost rather send them between the barricades.
That'd be fine.
That would keep people from trying to sneak around the corner of the vehicle.
And that would be nice because then the enhancements in that little triangle there, would part of the enhancements would be that little trail that would wander back then
right.
to the shoulder. So
people will, I mean, it doesn't look like that now because the barricades were just put up and nothing else was done, but really, you know, the road comes and curves and tees into Ferry Slip now. So people would, in theory, be coming around the shoulder and they could cut through the barricades and continue down Ferry Slip Road then if we did something different in there.
Yeah, I think right. between the barricades could
trying be. To think about a way to make people get through without letting a car get through. That's what I think.
Right. Well, even, I mean, right now it's only about that wide. I right. mean, even 4.5 feet would be
what's needed. Yeah, 1.5 points on a bike.
Yeah, you know, be safe. Yeah.
Yeah, because I go up those, you know, the washed out hill by your place in the barricades there. There's a space about,
about 2.5 inches.
Yeah.
That's about
and
that's
kind of sketchy.
So 16 feet. Is the Creek Trail open or Big Creek Road open or closed?
4 feet would be doable.
The other thing
is 4 feet
in the
production.
Do you have a semi barricade?
2 of them.
4 feet.
What if you offset a little bit?
Motorcycles aren't going to go in there.
If you had 4 or 5 feet in of it, offset 2 feet or 3 feet?
Well, first of all, the other part of the thing is we want the barricades to go away.
Well, see, this is what I was going to, how I was going
to
describe.
So we don't want to get too.
So that's the simple solution. Public Works goes and takes care of that. So now, on the other extreme, is imagining this as kind of a combination of better bike and pedestrian access, improving the looks of South Beach, the whole works.
Yeah, and that whole thing is all short term, relatively speaking. Because if you take a look at our TSP. The improvements that we put forward in the TSB for like the 2018 funding cycle.
Is that whole chunk going to be out there?
The whole Ferry Slip Road, 35th Street intersection, all gets rebuilt.
That's right. Yes.
And the whole thing gets nuked and started when we start over.
Right. What we're looking for is a short-term, low-tech, 3-year enhancement. Primarily, the main issue is to get a shoulder that connects Chestnut Street to Ferry Slip so that there can be a contiguous pedestrian way through
right,
that area.
So we achieve that by moving the barrier.
And if you look at it in some ways, the shoulder that you're developing to the east along Chestnut Street that gets into Ferry Slip is nothing more than establishing a gravel shoulder that needs to exist anyway. You're not going to lose anything when they develop the street further.
Isn't it gravel now?
No.
I mean, they didn't go and do anything different to the intersection except the barricades up.
If you walk out there and look at it, I mean, where it is now, and it'll be really obvious what we're talking about.
Yeah, it just kind of falls away on the creek side.
Right now, when you walk down, if you're walking from Fishtails back into the neighborhood on the east side, you know, the neighborhood on the east side being
I wonder if I still have those pictures.
35th Street, etc., Neola condos, all that whole neighborhood there, you're forced to walk in the street on Ferry Slip Road where there's no shoulder, and then you're walking around the barricades to get onto Chestnut Street to walk down Chestnut Street. But I would conclude if we, anytime that anybody from Public Works, yourself specifically, wanted to go out there and look at it, I'm just down the street, I'd run up the street and say, hey, here's what we're thinking. In the abstract, it's very difficult. I mean, we're talking about stuff that if you're there boots on the ground, just like when we, you know, made the suggestion, make a little change, you can go out there.
You go. I'll stop by the next week or so.
Yeah, that's
so
what
to
I
the right
that.
There, to it's the right there. No, but as soon as you try to go around that barricade to the right hand side,
right,
it's kind of mushy and soft enough that you feel like you're going to
the barricades apart because yeah. It is a fully gravel right. road still. I mean, they never did anything with it.
Right. So then step two, if you did want to do some kind of short-term sort of beautification project, there's a process for that. What do we call the form?
Adopt a park?
No, the form you said.
Oh, right away?
If some of the people in the neighborhood wanted to get together and do something on that corner, they just pull a right away permit just with a drawing of what the plan was.
You sort of, kind of like we were doing it in our head.
Right.
You would simply conceptualize what we were talking about in our head that you would like to do, put that down on this right-of-way form, and then, because that's what everybody has to do. But that goes to the
city. Is there funding available? Do we get? Is there funding available to the neighborhood group to facilitate these things?
Well, that would be sort of like.
Not really.
I mean, the funding, the support that might be available, as you had mentioned at one point, maybe some of the gravel could be dug out of there. If a group was going to take on actually landscaping it.
Yeah, if I needed to do a little bit of excavation, we could do something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, so there might be components that could, that normally would be a big cost
right.
that the city could do relatively easy along with something else that they're doing out in the area.
I have to say I'm not really interested in investing any money in there because in a few years it's going to all get torn out. And so I have lots of places that I need to invest money that I would rather.
I have a really low-cost, low-tech solution that if I showed you in person.
I'll just stop buying it next week or so.
You look at it and you go, okay, we can do this.
Go stop buying.
I bet you probably say,
yes, we can always stop buying the next week.
Stop buying.
There you go. Okay, that'd be cool. Thank you.
I'm going to bail.
Cool.
All right, thanks, Tim. Can I ask you two things?
Nope.
Oh, one last question.
Well, one of them is a street thing. Good.
One last quick one, carry over from last meeting because I forgot to ask you when we met the other day. The committee last month had talked about taking on the role of trying to come up with a master overlay of all paths, trails, bike routes, etc.
It's been identified in the Bike and Pedestrian Master Plan already.
Right. So the question is how much that work has already been done.
We want a GIS layer.
That's what I'm saying. Something where we could...
I'm sure that there's a GIS layer that exists. I don't happen to have it. This was done by Alta.
No street
names. This had to be done under Derek's group,
right?
Bike and Pedestrian System Management Plan. These drawings that show, you know, it's called the existing pedestrian facilities in Newport. At some point, they incorporated this into a GIS map. There's a similar one for multi-use paths. There's one for bicycle facilities. It may or may not be up to date. There's a hand map that was drawn that's in my office, which is not up to date. But these are in GIS. And
okay, so
Derek has this someplace.
So they could get printouts of those and then make notes of things that might be missing.
Well, that TSP, I think, is available online.
Yeah, it is available online.
Yeah.
So
you should be able to go page by page and...
Yeah, it shows, like I printed out a section of this that just talks about pedestrian facilities, a section on pedestrian facilities that included that map, and then it included in the map showing, you know, proposed pedestrian facilities, but, you know, they had a list of, you know, 100 and something projects on it. I mean, it's like 12 pages long of pedestrian facilities, and what it's doing basically is just identifying these little half-block sections that are missing. And if you look in... this section, it talks about basically infilling the pedestrian routes along the major collectors and arterial roadways in Newport, which is functionally what we're trying to do, which is why we did that section on Nye Street there. There's another few blocks in there that need to be picked up. The piece between 3rd and 6th needs to be picked up. You know, we did all the stuff on 3rd Street last year. There's a half a block section between 8th and 7th Street that needs to be picked up.
What about that kind of stuff? Park Harney between Harney and Eads section? Is that?
In Harney and Eads.
Along the south side of the fairgrounds?
That's the piece that I'm talking about that we're working on this summer.
So that'll be done?
Yeah, we're going to do that this summer.
So that sounds good. If that's readily available, then it sounds like you could use that as a place to then make whatever notes you might have about things that for whatever reason didn't get on there.
Those drawings are pretty small. It would be helpful if you may be able to talk to Derek and find out if they have those drawings, those GIS drawings someplace.
And if
I
don't
have them.
I'll check with Derek to see if we can get a larger version of it printed.
Yeah, if I printed that out large, you wouldn't be able to read it because it was blurry at 8 and a half and 11.
You know, Marianne did get an electronic copy of that.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, I sent it to her.
Yeah, but that, again, that's a PDF and those drawings are 8.5 by 11. Derek may be able to get a hold of the consultant and make the GIS map if he doesn't already have it. And then that's something that is the original. That's what the PDF will be.
So that'll be my follow-up is to see if there's a larger scale version.
He might be able to do that.
It would be kind of hard to work at that level.
My question is directly for Tim. Do we have an ability to print, to make bike lane markings in the city?
We have a template that was donated by the bike group.
Oh yeah, the one, the Cheryl one, right?
Yeah, and our experience has been the paint is melted because it doesn't last.
Right.
And so we've been putting down thermoplastic markings instead because they last from one year to the next.
I'm just referring to the existing bike lanes that we have today. Can we repaint those or re-temper them?
Which ones are you specifically talking
about? Like over on Hardy Street and up the up Bay.
They don't need to be remarked.
They don't need to be remarked.
Well, the ones on the west side going out of Bay Boulevard, you know, as you go up the hill, you know, the bike lane was restriped, but then the actual symbol, you know, hadn't been.
Yeah, there's one more symbol that needs to be added back over there.
So we have the template that allows us to
paint. We have a Shero template that allows us to paint. And if you take a look at the ones we did on 6th Street, those are almost gone because of that.
Right.
And the hard thing about those kinds of markings, think about how many markings we put down on 6th Street. How many things do you think we put down 2 years ago? I bet we put down 40 of them.
Right. Yeah.
It takes a long time to remark them. And so we don't want to put them down unless we put them down on thermoplastic because they last.
And is thermoplasty, the only way you can do thermoplasty is with your stencils, the multi-piece stencils. Do we?
Yeah, the one time, we buy them pre-made.
Yeah, and I thought at one time we were going to be able to use some sort of a stencil and use...
We can't use our thermoplasting machine with it because we can't clean off the template.
I see.
We've been this great big circular motion with that, trying to figure out how to do templates with our thermoplastic machine. And it's
can't
just not
coat
functional.
It or edge it with anything one time and...
Okay. If you see how this stuff works, you see it right away that we're having a challenge with that.
It's hot, sticky, messy. Okay.
Yeah, it's basically melted plastic.
Yeah.
And you end up, I could mark two or three, but at that point I wouldn't be able to clean the template off enough to even move the bloody thing anymore.
Right.
Okay.
So I mean, the way that they actually clean the machine is they heat it up and melt the plastic off.
So our desire to get Cheros on the state parks,
they could use that if they want to paint them.
And the last time we want, you know, if we want to get them on there just to get them on there, we put them on there with paint.
The templates exist, yes.
And can would the city paint them on there on state park if we requested Public Works to?
I would be disinclined to do that because I don't have the time. Okay. You know, all it is all that Mike is doing. It's just a regular sprayer, you know. So if somebody wanted to volunteer to do it, it's just a sprayer. I mean, you could rent a sprayer. You could get an electric sprayer with a. I mean, and all it is regular latex paint you use.
Yeah.
Well, you know, nothing special.
Here's the frustration we have. We've got this mixed use path that ends underneath the bridge at that nice condo, you know, and we've got this 1 mile paved path from the day use area of the jetty to the jetty proper, and you have the jetty road in between. And we want tourists to be able to connect those two things. And we thought that with Cheros, if you position them, you know, at each point and then a long line, that we could get people to use it.
Take easy permission. You got the templates. Get a 5 gallon bucket of paint and a paint sprayer and go to town.
Yeah, and get together with the state park.
I don't have time to do that.
I mean, I
know, that's what I'm saying.
That would be a great project, though, for this.
I'm busy.
Some committee at some point.
You know, there's groups that are willing to volunteer labor, too. That's another thing that you can maybe think about. You know, for example, I had a church group that has like 50 kids that wants to do work in Newport. There's all kinds of people like that.
Maybe YoPros can do it.
That's...
YoPros.
Tell them.
Rotary Club.
Do it.
You know, the Rotary Club.
Well, that's
the
first
thing. Get yourself an airless sprayer. And our guys used to use epoxy paint, which lasts a lot longer. But the cleanup is intensive because now it's oil-based and now it's water-based. And they got away from it because of all the chemicals we had to keep to clean.
Right.
And so, but if you went out and painted them with epoxy paint and took the time to clean your gear when you're done, they'll last 5 times longer than the latex does.
Right, but that really could be a great community project that you guys could... Because, I mean, virtually every group in town...
I got to tell you, Mike is running his tail off. And I couldn't justify having to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's really good information.
Chuck, I would bring up to the Rotary Club as a community project because, I'm in the club and, you know, if we've got the stencil and we could somehow get people... If we got permission from the state, you know, I'm not going to promise you that the Rotary Club will say yes, but we've been looking for community projects because the club used to do... Literacy Park, and now I've got a different person taking care of that. And so I don't know how much the paint would cost, but we might be able to even come up with the paint for it.
I got 5 gallon bucket of paint is nothing.
I can go to Agri Supply, mm-hmm. the shop there anyway, and say, hey Don, could you front us some epoxy as a public gesture? And he probably would.
Do we need to contact Mike or somebody up there at the street department to get a hold of that template?
State Park said bring it on.
I can get a hold of it for you at any time.
Is that the one that you were talking about? Is it us to contact them?
Yeah, that's one of the...
Let me know. I'll hook it up for you.
State Park's projects. Yeah, there's icons and signage.
I wanted to do is get the city...
I believe that's maintained by State Park, that road, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to accomplish
it. Just as long as you get an acknowledgement from them, you probably go out and paint it. I think it's all day because people driving over that paint. It takes a while to dry, which is, we have a challenge with paint. So you'll need cones and stuff. But we can hook you up with cones when you do the event. That's not an issue. Just keep people from driving over it. So what you probably need to do is do one lane at a time so people can drive around it. Otherwise, you're going to be driving through the ones you painted in one lane and then the other.
Okay, well, we'll chip and get some free paint from supplier, and if we can find a group to do it, and okay. At least we got a way to proceed.
Mark Moran is the president of the Rotary Club, and I'm the vice president.
You guys are all intertwined. So the wicked web you weave.
Okay, we're looking for, we do...
Thanks, Tim.
Are they leaving?
Is who leaving? Young Paige is talking to him. We do that Mount Betts Park, Sister City Park.
Right.
We did the big project there, and that might be something we really could come into and knock out fairly quickly and get that taken care of.
So when we get our quorum back, we still need to establish the next agenda, confirm the next meeting date.
We got our quorum walking through the door.
I've got another meeting at 7, so. Yeah.
Cool. What is the second Tuesday in August?
The 13th.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Does that work for everybody?
What difference does it make? Nobody listens anyway.
Works for me.
Well, is there a better day? Would you prefer meeting on a different day?
Oh,
a different day would actually work better for me, a different day of the week.
Actually, it's a different... September, a different day of the week would work better for me, too.
Well, let's do August and then maybe...
I think we just continue to, do the same date and, whoever can make it, makes it...
Well, how about if we revisit touch any day after...
Put that down as an agenda item, maybe?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, so for the August 13th agenda... Will be discuss meeting day.
And we need Monday for the longer day.
So don't forget Monday.
I have Tuesday night engagement every single Tuesday.
We should by then probably have enough information to do another update on the 101 project, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Yep.
And you'll probably have been to the second open house by then.
Good.
And then, as soon as I hear about it, I will let you know, as I did this time.
Oh, thanks,
Dave. Now, if you guys
came up kind of late with that notice on that open house last one, didn't they?
I sent it at the very day I got it.
I think they, Derek, set it up kind of late to try to get it.
I do have to tell you, I apologize. There was a couple day delay because I was out of town.
Yeah, I know.
But it wasn't very much of a delay.
Then if you guys can draft together some of the comments you shared, bridge.
So Tim can write the letter.
I'll get that.
You want that as an agenda item?
The bridge letter. I'll try to get that to Tim as soon as I can.
Yeah, the sooner
the
better.
So then that's not going to be on the agenda.
Have we finished the committee comments yet?
No.
Yeah, I was going to wait for if Dave came back in, but... Okay.
I'd like to see a rough draft. If you're going to get that letter to Tim before the next meeting, I'd like to see a rough draft of it.
Yeah.
So we could all add to it. I think we can get the letter to Tim before next meeting, but I think we need to circulate it by email so we can
do that.
Yeah, so we get everybody's input on it.
So we'll put that on the next agenda.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to bring up as far as
I had a suggestion. I wouldn't say this is a firm report, but I don't believe we've had any additional accidents.
No, I did get a report today. There
okay,
have been none.
Okay. So I didn't know that as of yesterday. So she got a report today. There have been none. And then I thought a little bit about how to handle this old business, new business, which we really don't prefer to have parks doing that either. The way I look at it is, if it's an old business item that's important enough to be rediscussed, it probably should have been established the previous month as a regular agenda item. And if it's a new business item that comes up at the end of the meeting, that's kind of one and the same as saying, well, let's put that on the agenda for the next meeting. So it's not that we're not really talking about old business or new business, it's just that they're in kind of a little bit more constructive form of what are you actually doing with them.
We're just going to be designated.
Yeah, because so often what happens with a lot of groups when we have old business, new business, old business items stay on the old business list forever, nothing ever happens to them because they never get around to deciding that they're important enough to make them a regular agenda item. And new business items, if you're not careful about scheduling your meeting time, you end up discussing the new item at that meeting and you're here till 10 o'clock when probably you would rather just have formally put it on the next agenda. Mm-hmm. So that's that. I just kind of wanted to share that as sort of an approach to sort of achieving the same thing that I think you're trying to do. It's just...
I've got no problem with that.
Do you want to put on the next agenda an update on the South Beach, Cheryl's in the South Beach area? Because Ted may have some information from Rotary by then.
I'd also had the question previously about whether the city is buying more Cheryl's. They already used up the batch that they had on Ocean View. And the question was is whether they were buying more because there were several other streets that we designated for Cheryl's.
Well, I'll have to check into the budget to see if that's in there or not.
Yeah, it looks like there's two different stencil designs that are out there. I don't know.
There was the original one. Yeah, the original design, but the ones that they purchased were slightly different.
Yes.
And I think they're a little different. I think what it is, they just went to market and got the best bang for the buck.
Yeah, which is fine. But I just was wondering whether they have it in the budget to buy more this year.
And that was let me use your pen. I can check that too.
And that was a question in the previous meeting about whether buying more shares.
It was. It was only so long after.
Don't say that because then I'll have a tendency to go.
Cheryl's on the agenda next time.
South Beach, or just Cheryl's?
Just Cheryl's in general.
Okay. Well, yeah, and, you know, I can still go through, you know, previous meetings and you know, minutes, etc. And I can make a list of stuff that we
had other stuff we still need
previously
to
that well, still need
that
still
need
to get Tim out there to look at.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's hopefully low tech.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
Is that going to work for you, Ken?
Well, yeah, just, you know, it makes the agenda a little bit longer by doing that, but generally old business, by designating old business, that kind of opens up, like I said, you know, the question about whether buying more Cheryl's and then several other things.
We'll just do an update on it.
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
Well, that's one item, yes. And that's fine. I can.
Highway 101 project update.
I have a question on the Cheryl update agenda item. When I talked to Derek about the 40th Street pedestrian or the bicycle facility thing, putting the Cheryl's or the bike lane up there, he said he thought it was very important. He thought it was really a good idea. We should do it. I'm going to talk to Ted and see whether we can make this thing happen. So there's an example for me as a community member where I've, you know, queried staff. They said, well, we're going to talk to another staff person about it and see whether it's doable. And, you know, how do we follow that up and how does that happen that, you know, well, you know, Tim's got enough going on. Ted's project, you know, Ted's the one that needs to get back to Derek to say, yeah, we can do that.
We'll find out. But you're talking about the 40th Street striping.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you get from
In what context did you talk to Derek? Because I'm...
Derek, I said, hey, Derek, they're going to be finishing up Ash Street.
But, I mean, where were you when you guys were having a conversation?
Oh, I called Derek up on the phone.
Okay.
a meddling citizen.
No, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where I'm wondering if following up with an email that says, per our conversation today, or maybe a week later to remind them, because I know stuff drips through my head.
Oh, yeah.
You and I talking about stuff, and
right.
20 minutes later, right. Somebody else is...
But see, I get real busy.
Because I would bet you $1 million, Derek, just forgot. I don't want to say he did,
but he is just as busy as...
But see, it's not my... My job is just to advise and start, and I... Mm-hmm.
But you're busy, and he's busy, and it goes in one ear, not the other, because he's got 16 minutes.
I need to email Derek.
Yeah, and I wrote it down, I actually talked to Derek about that.
Probably needed about 200.
I actually talked to him a little bit about that.
Oh, so I mean,
and we were talking
to him another email.
They have 40 that they bought last year.
See what we can do to move it for.
And then they use those on Ocean View. Now they don't have any of the thermoplastics.
If you
how much do those cost?
They cost probably $100 a piece, according to what I'm hearing.
What I'm
thinking that's the installed price.
You know, have you guys prioritized? I mean, there's no way if there's 200 Sheryls that need to
be. Yeah, we have prioritized.
Have you prioritized which ones where they need to go next after Ocean View?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll check and see if there's any money in the budget to do that. Whose budget would
more
that
on
be?
Ocean
View. That would probably be coming out of Public Works, the science show.
Down Elizabeth next. Yeah. I think we're going to try to hit the Bay Road after Elizabeth.
Bay Road?
Bay Boulevard.
When we get one conversation going here on that, I want to speak. Because I'm a little bit pissed right now. I asked last meeting about those repainting the bike lines into the shoulders.
Okay.
And I tried to get Tim to talk about that. He would not talk about it. The city, I asked the city, now they do have the responsibility to put those bike symbols back on those roads. And they repaint the shoulders. They need to paint the bike lanes.
Where we talk?
Bay.
Well, on Bay Road?
Yeah, or isn't that where it is, Alicia?
I'm talking specifically on Harney.
Oh.
Now, Harney's one.
Bay is, yeah. Bay's
there's a bike lane on Harney as you go towards the middle school.
So Harney right? And Bay?
That had a
two separate locations.
Right.
Mark on it. It's gone.
It's not there.
Yeah.
The white stripe is there, but there's no...
There's no bike.
Bicycle. Okay.
Yeah. I think what happened is Tim misunderstood, because we were talking with Sheryls and using the Sheryl template, and he misunderstood about putting the bicycle symbol
in there. I'm sorry, but when you put the lane in to begin with, you designate a bike lane. You're responsible now to maintaining that bike lane. See? Yeah.
Otherwise, it's an 8-inch wide stripe that the driver has no idea.
It's
just a wider stripe. They wasted some paint here, or they got a little bit of paint or whatever. But yeah.
But you got an 8-inch wide stripe, and I'm assuming... to the right of that is the bike lane.
And then what you want to hit in the middle of that
is a bicycle.
Right, and they've been there in the past, and they go away, and then they don't get back in there. So then you end up with basically just a fat line, and nobody knows what it's all about.
The bicycle symbols are missing from those. And
so the same thing going out Bay Boulevard, passing Barcadero on the, like I said, on the west side, on the uphill side going out of town. There was a bike lane symbol on those as well going out. You can still see them coming back because they didn't get worn out.
How far out did they go?
Just out to the city.
The Vista Drive.
Just out to, what is it?
Vista Drive.
Vista Drive.
Oh, okay.
Probably about three or four of them, you know, in that lane would be all that's necessary. And see, those could be painted because they don't get subject to vehicular traffic.
But that goes back to Tim's. That goes back to Tim's comment. We talked paint and Sheryl. He said, I don't even want to mess with paint and Sheryl anymore.
Yeah.
And see, clarify that. Does that mean, okay, well, then our question about, well, is there money in the budget for Sheryls and do you have places to put them? Well, yeah, if there's money in the budget, we definitely want half a dozen to fill in these things we talked about that are thermoplastic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we don't need a Sheryl there.
Yeah,
we just need a bicycle.
No, Sheryl. Yeah. We need the bicycle symbol that we have a template.
Yeah.
That we don't know whether we have a template for it.
It is part of a Sheryl template.
So we could.
That's a two-part thing.
So we're still back in this thing where.
That's where the confusion was.
So we're still back in this vortex of we don't even know that we have the ability. Well, we know that we have the ability to use a Sheryl template masked off slightly to service as a bicycle symbol to go in the bike lane.
And Cheryl, the Cheryl template is two pieces.
Right.
One piece is the bicycle symbol, and the other piece is the chevrons. It's two separate pieces. You don't even have to mask it off.
Okay, so so if we want to do what Alicia was talking about doing, the fast, easy way to do it is to grab half of your template and go up there and squirt it with some paint.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what we've talked about for probably four meetings.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we could do that even with for the epoxy we could do it with rollers even if we're willing to put a few.
We're willing to do it.
Yeah.
We've said we're willing to do it.
We don't want to do it. We don't want to get in a road. I mean we this is deja vu, and that's when Dave Kiss said, "Hey, we're a volunteer group. We shouldn't."
Well, if you can talk to the Rotary and get some interest there, I'm willing to go out there with them, and I think Alicia's willing to go out there with them, you know, to help, you know.
What it would be is, I don't know how long it takes to paint the ones up, to do the ones under the bridge. If we're doing one lane at a time and give them time to dry, those ones out on Harney, you know, that might be another group that would be, maybe we could get two groups from the Rotary, one to do the stuff on Harney and one to do the stuff,
The only thing that I worry about, some of the stuff in the roadway, Ted, is the safety component of it.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers, I like volunteers, but when you're working in a roadway, you've got to have a flagger, you've got to have somebody that knows how to keep from getting run over,
yep.
A safety person.
Have the vests.
And the vests and all of that. So there may be, maybe more complicated than just getting a volunteer for it. Now, like going out to the jetty, wide open enough that I'd feel pretty comfortable standing out there saying, "Stop, don't come out here." But
When you're talking Harney's a little bit.
Harney.
Especially at the wrong time of day.
Well, yeah, Harney, but even worse, the worst one would be Bay Road. Because you're going uphill right-hand corner, and cars tend to cut that right-hand corner, so you're going to need actually a vehicle with lights on it. Mm-hmm. Setting back to do that.
How many of those things would have to be painted up going up that hill? How far apart are they?
Probably more than three.
Three would be good. If you started at the Embarcadero one and then two more.
So what we're trying to accomplish by putting that bike lane symbol there.
Yeah, just so people have
motorists. Yeah. Well, try to stay out of that lane altogether.
Yeah,
it's not much of a lane in it is. So it just looks like almost like a little bit of a.
Just looks like a shoulder.
That is the dangerous part. Just until you get to the top of that hill, and then once you're at the top of the hill, it's pretty much okay. And
if you have the other group is that there's a new Kiwanis Club forming. That may be another.
It's already formed.
As far as the safety side of it for the Bay, maybe Harney, your police volunteers may be a logical component to get them to help for the safety side of it, not the painting, but the safety side of it to provide that support, because that's what they do. They've got the vehicle and they've got the cones and things like that. So the city may have volunteer options within their cadre.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hate to see us or any other group go out there.
We got any other old business, new business?
I just want to make a comment about the barricades on Big Creek Road. I'm curious.
Oh,
I tried to ask them, is that road closed to bicycles?
No.
Okay, now the ones at the bottom are too damn narrow to get through.
Yeah, they are.
The ones at the top are okay.
Yeah, they're pretty close. That's a challenge. You hit them babies about 30 and,
coming down the hill. Going up the hill, it's not as dicey, but coming down the hill. Yeah, that's a pretty.
That's only about this wide. That's what makes it a test.
I think they'd probably. And
that's all I was trying to get to.
The ones at the bottom of the hill are too narrow, or too close together.
They're pretty tight.
At least one of those at the end.
Even contractors
at the bottom end of that road, if it moved over about another foot, would probably.
I mean, they'd have trouble getting a stroller for that thing.
I saw a lady lifting a stroller through there the other day.
Okay,
that's
the time right there.
Yeah, she had one of the double baby strollers.
They moved them in the last couple weeks.
Okay.
Well, do we beat everything up satisfactorily?
It's really nice to have Tim here, because it's nice to engage him. And, you know, when he first said that he was gave it a lot of thought and he didn't want Cheryl's on the bridge.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, 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 these three guys. And it's like, okay, well, I hear you now. I get better information.
Well, see, yeah, because you're right. I think if you're not a bike rider, or even if you are, you're thinking about a bike, your own Schwinn that you're riding across the bridge or walking across the bridge. But when you're talking about people who are taking a cross-country north-south trip on 101, and they got saddlebags or whatever you call them. It's tough.
And if you've ever walked over it when somebody's pushed their bike across, or even just a regular bike.
Just a regular bike, yeah.
Because I've been up there in a lot of different stuff, and it's like, wow, you don't realize how narrow that damn walk is.
I do because when I walk across it, when the wind's blowing, it doesn't feel like it's wide enough for a pedestrian.
And see, if you're on your bicycle riding on top of that, your rear end is up above the,
which is frightening. You're looking, if you took a tumble into that thing, if you could very well tip over.
Yeah, what happens is when you're up there riding and a truck trailer goes by and they stop the wind, all of a sudden, you know. You've been
adjusting for the wind, you know.
I'm the expert on that bridge.
You are.
I've got over probably 2,500 miles on that bridge alone. The number of times I've ridden across that bridge. So if anybody wants any questions about, you know, safety or any opinions on that bridge, I don't think there's anybody anywhere that has got more miles on that bridge than me.
I'll give you one more. So if the bus has got the right schedule, I'll pay $1.
If the what?
Oh.
If the bus has got the right schedule, I'll pay $1.
Yeah, I'd get the bus up there.
Exactly, I agree with you on that. Totally. They do not have the right.
Especially coming northbound, right?
Yeah, because I'm coming northbound now, Walport. I do have one question, though, for some people. This is a brochure that's out in the hallway there.
Out in our hallway?
Yes.
Okay.
And they got this thing that says, don't clip your bike. And I can't figure out what are they talking about.
What's your bike?
Don't clip it. Your bike.
Flip it.
They talk about the wheels being loose, but they say don't flip your bike.
Well, they must be talking about that if the front wheel is loose and you try to do a wheelie and the front wheel drops out, then you're going to flip over the bike.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely.
I don't know who puts that brochure out?
Yeah, I was going to say, who puts it out?
It's got McGruff on it.
Yeah, it's got McGruff by that.
Old then.
Yeah.
Is McGruff no longer a?
No, it's just
from National Crime Prevention Council in Washington D.C.
There's probably a copyright date on it. Like
they're as bad as the National Traffic Safety.
They just keep reusing and reusing.
Yeah.
Hey, what time is it?
7:15.
Okay.
Is it adjourned?
I told you. We could have dug it out another 15 minutes pretty easy.
That's okay. I'm getting hungry again. I only had a handful of pretzels.
Yeah.
Time to go home and eat supper.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Peggy, for coming.
See you too, Dave.
You're welcome.
You still back to store?
Oh, yeah.
How's it going? I think we're settling into our new
I've been to the store every day.